PFT Media.
We're back, baby. Episode 22.9, because I don't do that other number. Because you, Michael Jordan, and your Chicago Bulls, you ruined my childhood in the 90s. Suck a dick.
Hard to be a Knicks fan in the 90s.
Here we are.
Still here, we're making friends with North Korea.
Yeah, but not Iran.
Hey, that's how you trade one, you get the other one. We got one of the axis of evil.
Right.
I mean, they could already hung one. So then you got...
I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't share that Nobel Peace Prize with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
More
you know what? You're right.
He got more reasons to hate the Bulls.
Right. Yo, he played basketball out there. He's taking trips.
Yeah, he's a goodwill ambassador.
He tried it for the longest. Mm-hmm. He was brave enough to go out there with a bunch of hurting NBA players.
Right.
When he had that meltdown on CNN, it was the best. Because you could tell the what the hell is happening here about the other players. And they're trying to calm this maniac down. And Dennis Rodman's there with his shades, his big-ass cigar, jewelry like Mr. T. Let me tell you something, Chris Cuomo. It's like, all right, cut the promo. Hey, Pedro Lima, Dan Perella, super producer Chris Crespo, broadcasting live from Cinema Crespo Diesel Studio, brought to you by Fidelity National Title Group, providing nice Arctic mugs.
As well as quality loan policy insurance for all your commercial real estate transaction needs, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, this is not real? Oh, that makes a
better sound. They're holding it with their hand.
Okay.
This is a...
Oh, that sounds better.
There we go.
All right. Wow. What are you doing?
Sounds better if I drink it.
It made it, I guess my hand, I make it sound like plastic.
Right.
I don't know my own strength.
Because you're holding it, it wouldn't reverberate. That's why.
I don't...
Use the reality
you don't,
stone.
You don't hold a gong and then hit it with the hand. Anyway.
I didn't take chemistry, relax.
Or Bant.
I think I took environmental science and I was done.
I love because my students will ask me questions.
What?
Like, oh, he really? What? No, they're like, he really knows about history. So they'll ask me like science and math questions. I'm like, I'm like, kid, I haven't taken that for a while.
What? Ask me about, ask me about the Middle East. Yeah. I got this down. So. Joining us again, friend of the show, give it up for Clayton Phillips, everybody.
Yay.
Oh, there
you go. Oh, I got applause.
All right, all right.
Just see, now you called it out and then you shut it down. Uh-huh. So, just like Dan, you've been teaching for how long now?
It's 8 years now.
And you had side jobs and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh God.
While teaching.
What
side job? Because that's the weird thing. It's like, you just can't be a teacher anymore. You got to have...
Yeah. You got to do extra stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do the convention things. You did a convention. Well. That helps out.
But before that, you were doing...
I mean, I was doing... I was working at Tijuana Flats as a prep cook.
Oh.
Yeah.
As a teacher.
That was rough. And I was doing the reservations with you in between, trying to get the teaching job. And on top of that, doing whatever.
Yeah, I remember. One of the times that I just... I kind of like flipped at the supervisors. All they needed to do is just sign a piece of paper. And one of the questions says, has he ever been written up? Something like that. And they put yes. And it was like
it was such a minor thing. I didn't think that... Like I had even forgotten about it. So I put no on my Orange County application. And they put yes when they signed off on it. So technically, according to Orange County, I was lying, and I got locked out of the whole system for being a teacher.
And I found, And I found out about this. And I went off on like the supervisor. Like,
I had just been offered a job at University High School for the social studies.
They're doing the background checks and stuff like that, and they say yes, and I go, "You two idiots? What makes you think that he wants to be here? Why wouldn't you lie? Even if it's true, if he was written up, why don't you just say no?
Right.
Give him the chance. Get him out of here."
So what were you written up for?
It was
probably not doing a correct procedure.
Yeah, some like not procedure
it's
thing.
It's not like, he wasn't molesting anybody or
exactly.
It was, he wasn't aggressive towards any, because that's something that you should write somebody up for.
Right.
No, he wasn't offering
the wrong logs or something.
He
like
wasn't
that,
offering the restaurants or the spas.
Right. and so that's how I ended up going back down to Broward, because by the time I got it all smoothed out, they had already moved on and offered the job to someone else. And there were no more socialized jobs in Orange County in 2010. And then,
Jesus,
honestly, dude,
that's the reason.
And then Dan left, and it kind of sucked because we started having like a good thing with the podcast, kind of thing. And then Dan left, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, because there was the opening of Coral Glades High School down there, and I took it. So.
Yeah, so
but you're back.
And then I got back, and through the charters, I got back, and then I've kind of been there ever since, so far.
Fighting one charter school at a time.
Fighting one.
That's my wife.
Yeah.
That's her job.
Now, Clayton, you've been teaching for how long?
20 years now.
20 years? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I've been around a while.
20 years.
You wouldn't even tell.
Nah,
right?
Dude. Nah. Wow. And this is something you always wanted to do? Or is this
actually,
just something like, man, I just got... What's the closest?
Dig ditch, teach school, teach kids.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. I'd always wanted to teach school. So.
Digging ditches pays a little bit more, though.
Just
a little bit.
Yes.
The summers are better as a teacher, though.
And now, what kind of odd jobs did you ever have as teaching?
While teaching? For a long time, I was a floor manager at a nightclub, or basically the front door guy.
Okay.
Downtown for like 8 years.
Any student like working, hey, Mr. Phillips!
Yeah, it was a good thing they were underage, because we just tossed them right the hell out.
Hey, you're not supposed to be here!
That's why you failed class. You're that dumb.
Did I ever tell you, I used to work at a porn shop.
Okay.
Excitement Video off...
good name.
1792, named after the number 17 and 92. I don't know if you guys know that.
Now, was this excitement with one X or three X's in excitement?
I think I had three X's.
Of course.
And, you know, I'm working there. And I remember one time I'm doing inventory and stuff like that. And I just hear somebody put movies on the counter.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like they're returning movies. I just happened to turn around. As I turn around, it's my college algebra professor.
Yes.
And me, and we lock eyes. And then he just goes and runs away. As I grab the movies to store them back, I see the type of movies that this guy is watching. Transsexual something something, tranny something. It was kind of like... I was like, wow, this guy's a freak. But it caught me by surprise because this guy was like the mild manner.
Right.
Like, I didn't think anything like that. I'm thinking this guy's going to see like big black booties or something like that. It's like shemale kind of thing. And it's like the cheap movies that, you know, that the porn industry that they have in Tampa.
Oh God!
That they record like in video cassette kind of things.
The Ebor specials.
Yeah. Like the chick still has like a fresh burn or something right. And yeah, dude, and it kind of sucked because I'm thinking, man, I'm not gonna get a good grade, or maybe he wants to talk about this. And
did you pass the class?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So there you go.
And it was great because we didn't have a conversation or anything like that, but I passed it.
All right.
And I'm not going to say that helped me one bit, but I passed the class, but I was just afraid that, man, this guy's going to have the conversation. So it was kind of awkward. So it's through like that half of the semester that was left. I'm like, please don't talk to me. Please.
For sure, he was saying the same
please,
thing.
Just so. Numbers. Let's talk about numbers and just numbers at all, and just no.
And that was that your first job?
That was no. My the hell was my first job? I started young, dude, in Puerto Rico. I used to do like the delivery, those papers that mm-hmm. goes to every single house with the coupons.
Okay.
Yeah.
This kind of things in Puerto Rico. So I had like one full neighborhood in Puerto Rico to do. Then my first job here was, remember Angel's Diner?
Yes.
I used to be like the dessert boy kind of thing. So I would be like, hey, what do you like? We have the red velvet cake, apple pie, peach cobbler.
Angel's Diner.
Angel's Diner.
Now, the first ever job I had was I got hired by a greenhouse to dig dead alligators out of drainage ditches.
Hold up. hold up. A greenhouse just specifically hired you.
Yeah, originally we were going to go work in this greenhouse, and we started working the greenhouses, but what happened is alligators come out of the lake and they crawl up into the culverts, because you see those culverts down the side of the roads where everything drains.
Okay.
They get they crawl up into the parts that go under the driveways,
uh-huh.
and then they die. And then they get stuck in there. They blow it up. The water can't flow through, so it all backs up. So you have to go down there with hip wiggers and just dig them out.
Oh. Oh, that smell. Like you're telling me.
It's the best $2 an hour I ever.
What year was this?
It was back in the 80s.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, it really sucks. They're cold-blooded, so sometimes they don't know they're dead. So if you yank on the tail, sometimes they turn around and snap. And that's when you go running, and the guy with the bang stick, which is the guy who's got the shotgun shell at the end of the broomstick, starts hitting it in the head, trying to kill it before it gets to you.
Hold up.
That was the damn day I quit.
When the first gator
first one turned out, I was like, this job sucks. This is the worst
job. So it wasn't day one that it happened.
No.
How long did you?
I think I lasted about a month.
Right. A month.
That was the first job I had.
Somebody posted, it's like, what was the worst job you ever had, and how quick did you?
Right.
And I remember I did the training for a telemarketing thing for hospice.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm not doing this. And this is like the saddest thing. It's like, do you have anybody that's in hospice care? And like you had to like do outbound calls. And I'm like, I'm not doing this kind of thing. And then this guy shows up and he's plucking dead alligators. Or make pretend dead alligators.
Possibly dead alligators.
Possibly dead alligators.
And he's giving you just the overview. Like, because sometimes the alligator tail he was talking about would just come right off of it.
Oh, yeah. That sucker would pull out and maggots would just spill out everywhere. And you're just, gagging.
Was the gator still alive?
No. It was dead. At that point, it was dead. The only advantage is we could take the body parts that we had scooped up, threw it on a big old red ant hill mound or something. They'd chew up all the flesh. Then you could keep the scutes and the teeth and stuff and sell them to Indians when the Indians would come by and buy them from us.
Oh, we still had Indians in the 80s? They were still around?
They were still going? They hadn't built the casino yet, man. They had to do something. The Hard Rock wasn't around yet.
They were hanging at Ymir City. He's like, yo, I got some rattling gator teats. And
yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
Jeez, man. What kind of job was, like, how did you come across this job? It was just, man,
I lived in a town that had no jobs. You either worked in greenhouses or there was like this fake pottery place that you made pottery in a warehouse, which
I only do a man's job.
I'm not artistic enough to make a pottery, I guess.
No, you just put that song from Ghost and you just put your hands like this and a vase comes out.
This is the best thing that happened to that business, that movie. Everyone lined up to get a job the next day.
I remember I took ceramics in high school.
Oh, God. And you did the wheel?
I wanted to, but they knew what type of clown I was. And they never let me.
No.
Like, I would have done that whole scene and stuff like that. I always wanted. Did you ever use the wheel?
I never used the wheel, no.
Never used it?
Never used the wheel. I took photography in high school. I did the darkroom stuff.
Okay.
But I never did the pottery artistic stuff.
Can you still? Are you still somewhat interested in photography?
I mean, I thought it was cool, but like that, it died right there. Like, yeah. I didn't start doing it afterwards. No, like,
is there something in high school that you always wanted to do, and you kind of like looking back now, you're like, man, I kind of regret it. Not doing it.
I think I've kind of
AV
kept
club
with everything. Yeah, AV club. You wanted to keep on with that. Yeah,
the AV. I wish I've. If I knew then what I knew, what I know now.
Right. Yeah.
Knowing that little background kind of thing, mm-hmm. you can apply it. Now, look, this is what YouTube is pretty much is. Bunch mm-hmm. of AV kids.
Yeah.
Kind of know the angles and stuff like that. So, man. Dan, how was your Cinco de Mayo? We never talked about that.
You know, I don't really.
Not my favorite holiday.
Not really a celebrator of Cinco de Mayo, no.
No. American made just like Christmas.
I mean, it has Mexican origins, this one.
Does
the
it?
The Battle of...
But no Mexicans celebrate it,
Pueblo? Pueblo? Is it, yeah, no Pueblo? Mexicans really celebrate, but it's the Battle of Puebla. Yes, it's the Battle of Puebla from 1861. And no Mexicans really celebrate it, no. It's kind of... I think it got popularity in America just because it was a popular thing in around the new immigrant times, about 1880 to the 1920s, okay. where these immigrant groups would kind of create holidays to get more acceptance in America. That's why you get Columbus Day from the Italians. Like, look, we have a connection to America. Here's Columbus. He was one of us. And they blew it up and everything like that. And the Mexicans did that with Cinco de Mayo.
And then the Irish threw St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. So everyone kind of tried to bring a holiday to them to be more accepted in America. And that's where we get that from. So, you know, it's...
Am I missing a holiday from one country that's probably... Because I knew Italians, Columbus.
All right.
Kwanzaa.
Puerto Ricans, they had the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the Three Kings you kind of brought over yourself.
Three Kings is more national. The Puerto Rican Day Parade is New York City only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like they have Puerto Rican Day Parades in St. Louis.
But now they do one here in Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, that's not the Chicago. Tito Puente is not coming to the...
Well, Tito Puente is not coming anywhere. Tito Puente is dead for quite some time.
I realize that as I said it.
Junior Mike.
The one parade I went to, Tito Puente, was the
There's a Puerto Rican
MC,
Day
so.
Parade in Chicago.
Okay, okay.
In California, I'm pretty sure there's not, because there's probably like seven of us.
Yeah, it's a Mexican.
I'm not sure if the Greeks brought anything with them.
Greek Fest. Every city has a Greek Fest.
Yeah, everyone has a Greek Fest,
every
right?
Greek Orthodox Church. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, everyone kind of brought over whatever they could to be accepted. But, like Chris was saying,
it's Oktoberfest, you Germans.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Why is that not a national holiday?
That really needs to. I would love it.
Why do we exclude the Germans? We still haven't gotten over that.
Just keep drinking the beer.
There's something in the history there that we're just not getting over.
Let's get another...
Viva the beer!
Let's get another 20 years. Let's make it a cool 100 years. Right. And then we can maybe...
Is that when? Because we got no problem with the Japanese now, right? There's sushi restaurants all over the place.
That's true.
Everybody's rocking that little...
Yeah, but there's Hollerback over in Sanford, right? Is that... No, Willow. Willow Tree. Yeah, Hollerback is a car.
Willow
Tree?
Right? Oh, Willow Tree.
Right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hollenbach.
Hollenbach. Mm-hmm. There you go. The German. It's supposed to be amazing. You haven't been there, Major?
No.
Huge plates.
I know Willow, sausage. The movie. I don't know.
Willow movie, Hollenbach. Of course. Yes. Same thing. Willow movie. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, Mexico, it's interesting because the elf doesn't even end the war. It's like,
what
the hell
were they fighting for? What are they fighting for? First of all,
this is it's really tangled. It really, really is tangled. It's several. The war itself is called the French Intervention. Okay,
they were doing an intervention on a French guy.
The French intervention. They kind of intervened to help Mexico stabilize. Is kind of their justification for it.
Okay, give me a little bit more, please.
All right, yeah. There's got to be a lot of background because, you know, the French intervention is part civil war, and you've got the Austrians involved, you've got the French involved, the United States shows up at the end. It's a whole mess.
It's like a party.
It's
a house party, right? That just got out of control kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
It's like a prequel to World War I.
To set the stage... We got
the Austrians, the French, the right? Mexicans. Yeah, the United States just shows up at the end.
Why not?
Hey, what's going on?
It's a trial run.
It's like a lot of our wars. We need to show up at the back end and win it for everybody.
Oh, whoa, something's going on, guys.
or at least show up at the end and take credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So, to set the stage, go back pretty much at the end of the Mexican-American War.
Okay.
Okay, Mexico loses out big time. They lose pretty much half their country because of Santa Anna's mismanagement. And the United States sort of kind of starting it, you know, in order to get some territory.
That's the Remember the Alamo kind of thing?
That's the Texas War of Independence.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened first, then the Mexican-American War. So it was basically Americans saying, if you think it was bad that we took Texas from you, give me California too.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But it was under a very conservative government under Santa Anna, and eventually they get him out after the Mexican-American War.
Okay.
And just like every political party, the pendulum swings and it goes to a liberal party.
Okay.
And this one's under a guy named Benito Juarez. And Juarez's whole thing is about liberal land reform, trying to take land away from the wealthy, give it to the poor, fund education, build up the middle class, and everything like that. Respect the rights, separation of church and state, all this stuff that he wants to do.
Did he burn a lot of letters that the other party wanted to see? And
No.
And they held that? Well, what about those letters burnt?
He didn't burn. He just had a private sack of letters.
That's right.
He was mixing up his letters with his private sack and his public sack. Yeah.
They held that. They always brought it up. What about Juarez's? Lock him up. Lock him up. Okay, go.
So the people who don't like it, obviously, are the Mexican conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
And the wealthy class is not happy with this at all, the Juarez administration. And, you know, the ultimate reaction is we got to get rid of Juarez. We got to get rid of his policies. But the problem was that they always saw is that even if we get rid of Juarez, there's going to be another election.
Enter Don Al Trump.
Right. Well, yeah. And so if we get a conservative president, he'll pass conservative policies, but then there'll be another election and that might go away. Like, we want a permanent conservative government. And the only way we're going to do that is if we get rid of this whole election process and start a monarchy. Let's make a royal family controlling Mexico.
Oh, Mexico wanted to have kings and queens.
They wanted that the empire.
That would have been hilarious. Oh, how great would that would have been.
So they send the letter over to the French and the Austrians asking for help with this because they can't do it themselves.
The hell the Austrians got? Austria had pool back then?
Back then.
That's a good question because after the Napoleonic Wars, you had the Congress of Vienna. And mm-hmm. The Congress of Vienna was this organization in Europe that wanted to create peace, stability, and order under conservative monarchy and regimes. And they actually had a successive meeting called the Congress of Passau, which said that those conservative states have the right to intervene in the internal affairs of other nations.
This is going to be one of the best episodes. I'm going to tell you, because I completely forgot that before we started recording the shows, I asked Clayton and said, what do you teach? And he tells me, he said, yeah, specifically European kind of thing. Yeah, and then this asshole's bringing Mexico. He loves fucking Mexican food, so he's going to bring that up. And then I say, what the hell is the Austrian got to do? Cha-ching! Yep. Clayton came in just like Schwarzenegger.
Right?
I got this.
Here it comes.
I like this. Right. I like this. Now I'm going to be so lost. Mark it.
Oh, well then, Pedro, should I hit record then? You want me to record this one?
Oh, it's not recording? How great would it be if that's a record?
God. Middle East all over.
Okay, yeah. So wow. So that's why Austria gets...
Yeah, because Austria was the leading conservative power, that and Russia at the time. So I don't know why the Russians don't show up, but anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, so they have this idea that in order to create peace and stability in the world, we must stamp out any liberalism in the world because that would cause disorder because liberals are anarchic in nature.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds familiar.
And it's a very they have to be careful, though, because they don't want to violate the Monroe Doctrine, which is the U.S. policy that states any foreign power that tries to take territory in the Western Hemisphere, the United States is going to get involved. But if they're invited by the Mexican people, it's okay. Because all they're doing is stabilizing the Mexican government upon request of the Mexican people.
So who requested this, that conservative party of Mexico?
It's the conservative party of Mexico, and they make it.
I would love to read that letter that they sent. I wonder how they did it.
So,
in Spanish, they had to get so many translators.
So we got this idea.
He had me, senor. Right. He got dispersal.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
We want to make monarchy.
We need a king. Speedy.
We want a king and a queen.
Speedy ran away.
And so they make this proposal. And this is... they make this proposal about the 1860s to Napoleon III of France and the Habsburg dynasty Austria, which as a kind of a sidebar here, because the Austrians and French start working together, kind of screws over Italian unification a little bit later on.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Because the Italians had made a deal with the French to try and help them fight the Austrians to finally unify Italy. But then this deal comes on the table.
And the French is like, yeah, we're going to be buddies here.
Right. Then this deal comes on the table, so they kind of renege on the Italians.
Cowards.
So.
No French connection for you, Phillips, at all?
Well, it is difficult to declare war on the Pope.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The French and the Austrians are going to intervene for the Mexican people to get out this radical liberal government and stabilize the country. That's the goal here.
Okay.
This worked well for Napoleon because he was wanting to keep the United States in check at the same time. The capture of
it's
California.
This is Napoleon III. Nap 3.
Nappy 3, yeah.
Nappy 3.
Who's not even related to Napoleon.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they just named him after that Napoleon's good work.
Was the
distant cousin or something?
Yeah, something like that. Okay.
It was a popular name back then.
I mean, he had met Napoleon, obviously. Oh, yeah. they had met. He was taking this over. He had been actually elected? Right, he was elected.
He was elected.
And then was like, yeah, no, I'm going to be emperor now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's how they do it.
Yeah, that's how they do it. Yeah. All right, so the French arrive, and, you know, obviously it's the French army here helping out the conservatives.
Oh, they show up with an army?
Yeah, the French army just comes in and starts attacking liberal outposts.
All right, that's very diplomatic of them to intervene into something.
And Benito Juarez is scrambling with his Republicans who are trying to do the best that they can to hold on. They finally get an edge here at the Battle of Puebla, because the invasion starts about 1860, 1861. And then the Battle of Puebla hits. And so finally, it's the first time the Mexican liberals, or we'll call them the Republicans under Juarez, are able to defeat the French out in open warfare. And it's a huge, huge victory for the Mexicans, for the Republicans, and this is kind of where we get Cinco de Mayo. Was on May 5th of 1862, I want to say.
Is that the first time they ever used the phrase Mexican standoff?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So
there we have now. But the thing was that, again, that battle did not decide the war. A year later, France keeps going and they capture Mexico City.
Okay.
So the war is not over by a long shot. Now, once Mexico City is captured, now they can have a vote by the Mexican people on what type of government they would like to have.
Okay.
And obviously, none of the Juarez Republicans are actually in that city when the vote happens. And so by unanimous decision, Mexico decides they want an emperor.
Okay, who's the first emperor that Mexico get? Not Nappy 3. Nappy 3.
No, he doesn't. No. They're okay. Going
You'll love the name.
Emperor Maximilian I.
Okay.
He's a Habsburg. He's an Austrian.
Oh, what?
So the first emperor of Mexico
is an Austrian.
Will be a 6 foot tall, blonde haired, blue eyed
German speaking.
German speaking.
How these Austrians just show up.
And it's this, yeah.
Governor Schwarzenegger from California.
You got it.
And the conservatives are really happy. It's like, all right, we've got this established Habsburg line. We're now linked to Europe. Conservatism for the win.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's a slight miscalculation in all of this, though. Yeah.
They did not kill all the Mexicans.
Maximilian is a raving liberal who believes in Karl Marx and all of that stuff.
Wait, hold on. Hold up. Nobody did their background checks?
They really thought they, because the Austrians just grabbed, just grabbed the Archduke.
How know, did this guy and... just become, hold up. They just pick a name out of a bucket? Maximilian, you're up.
I think it was, I think it was planned to get him out of the, get him off the continent.
I think it was trying to get him out of Austria.
Yeah. Because they knew he was going to start.
So they tainted the votes.
I mean, this is good for because the Austrians were worried if Maximilian stayed in Europe, once it was his turn, he was going to start putting some liberalism going. And so this was a calculated, we'll send him to the Mexicans.
They exported their liberalism to the West. Yeah.
And we'll give him our crazy liberal guy.
I mean, how bad can he really mess Mexico up?
That's the crazy part. He doesn't do a bad job at the beginning. He tries. He really does try.
Okay.
There are some portraits of him wearing sombreros and ponchos.
When does he lose? When does he start losing? I gotta look.
When does he lose a thread?
Listen, he's already talking about early cultural appropriation.
Right. I was thinking just that. Yeah, cultural appropriation. No,
he's got the sombrero. He's got ponchos. He'll go out there. He'll try the Mexican cuisine.
Yeah.
Like he really, really tries to be like, I'm one of you guys. I want to help
that.
Out.
Yeah, obviously trying. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That Austrian accent must have been funny in Mexican.
Right.
Yeah.
The revolution.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
He's the only monarch of the second Mexican Empire.
Yes. Mexico did try an empire early on when they first got their independence. Okay. And that fell apart.
Hmm.
Yeah, Emperor Augustine the First, I believe, was their first emperor.
Oh, he looks like a douche. That facial hair is the worst.
Oh yeah, no, like straight, like if this was modern times, straight out of Greenwich Village. Yeah. Like,
I mean, the hipsters would love him.
No, yeah, he's totally got a man bag like, in modern times.
Yeah, the hipsters would love him. Like he probably has like a coffee shop,
right?
Artisan cupcakes and stuff like that. Like, look at that.
Did you ever see the Juarez movie in the 30s that they made?
He's got the lumberjack beard going on there.
Yeah.
He's definitely eating avocado on toast.
Avocado on toast. Yes.
He loves coffee.
That face. That face is... Yeah.
He loves coffee shops but hates Starbucks.
Avocado milkshakes and stuff like that. Yeah.
He liked the Decemberists but only the first two albums.
Right. Yeah. But remember, the Civil War is still going on. Juarez and his boys are still out there in the countryside. They're still fighting as best they can to get this whole group out of here.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the conservatives are not liking what Maximilian is doing. He has canceled all debt for the lower class people. Anybody who's in debt for more than like 100 pesos, the debt is forgiven. The government's going to pay it off. He starts splitting off the land. He starts doing educational reforms. He offers equality to all the native Mexican Americans that are still there, the naval tribal Americans. Yeah. They get equal rights under the law and everything like that. Like he's going full Marxist on them.
Yeah,
and so they start to drop out support for him, the conservatives, and slowly but surely some of the conservatives start backing Benito Juarez's Republicans because they want him out of there.
Hmm. How long did this emperor thing last?
He lasts until 1867.
What's that? What's that like?
So about 5 years. He gets about five years in, and you know it's a back and forth. And finally, he's losing. So he's got the Mexicans still fighting him, even though he thinks he's doing everything for them. He's got the conservatives dropping out now, and so out of frustration. He passes this law called the Black Decree, or as it was going to be known as the Black Decree.
That sounds intense.
Tell me. What's in that Black Decree?
It basically states that anyone caught fighting against the government of Mexico is given instant execution. No trial, no nothing.
Wow.
Just kind of a, hey, stop doing this. Here's this law to make you stop doing this. It doesn't work. They keep doing it.
Man. How many Mexicans did he instantly
by this time, it's getting international support, the Mexican fight for freedom. The Peruvians have sent reinforcements. Other Latin American countries are sending money to Benito Juarez. And he's starting to gain. And then finally, what tips it all off, the Civil War ends in the United States. And now the United States can actually focus on what's going on everywhere.
Oh, wow.
And Grant sends Sheridan I think, at the Mexican border with 50,000 U.S. troops.
Nicole Sheridan.
Philip Sheridan.
Oh, okay.
Nicole's great. So they sent all the troops that were still alive.
Oh, yeah.
In 1964.
They were still alive. Line up on the Texas-Mexican border.
Yeah.
And U.S. Grant basically sends a letter saying to Napoleon III, he's like, you get these troops out of here or you're violating the Monroe Doctrine and we're going to go in there. You know, we're not going to let the courts decide this. I will go in.
Unilaterally will make the decision. Yeah. Wow.
And Napoleon, by this time, has pretty much given up on Mexico. Is the Austrian alliance still going on with them by that time?
Well, at that particular point, he's declared neutrality because Bismarck's already planning on putting together Germany. So he's pulled out of the support of Austria as well. And Garibaldi is already in the southern part of Italy putting together.
The Louisiana Purchase already happened?
The Louisiana Purchase has already happened.
Yeah. It's already happened? Yeah, I just want to know how tired would the French listen.
Of the whole North American mess.
Done with this.
You know what? We got this great colony in Vietnam.
This was
done after a while.
That's going to happen.
That's going to go well.
About 20 years from now, it's about to happen. Okay. About 20 years. Indochina.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, that's right. Bismarck is putting together Germany, and so Napoleon's got bigger problems going on in Central Europe, because at this time there's no such thing as Germany. There hadn't been for years.
But there will be in 3 years.
Yeah.
When the French declare war on the Prussians.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on, because now I'm going over there.
right.
And then that's when, is it Bavaria that they call it or something like that? Or is that just the region?
Bavaria is a state in southern Germany.
State in southern Germany. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to be jumping from talking Mexico.
yeah, that's
and a, then well, I want to know. Yo, but hold up,
there's so many German European affairs that are all connected. Yeah.
So
geopolitics.
So the French are out. They pull out of Mexico.
So is it safe to say Cinco de Mayo is more like the creation of Germany than it is a celebration for Mexicans?
I mean, it's. Again, it's such an interesting...
Take it over, Germans.
It's such an interesting war.
You got better beer.
The French intervention, because it's a civil war. It's they pretend it's this nationalistic foreign battle, but it's a civil war between conservatives and liberals.
Yeah, isn't their independence sometime in April?
September.
September something? September, yeah.
Yeah. So they pull out. Benito Juarez, the only force he has... Maximilian, the only force he has... are the native Mexican Americans who are still fighting because he's the only chance that they have of equality. And so here he has this entire minority army trying to defend their one shot at being equal.
Have no idea.
No.
And Benito Juarez is just, I'm done.
He takes him over, he defeats him, captures
Maximilian. You're liberal? I'm liberal.
Right. Mm. And he's captured. And at this point, the whole world goes crazy trying to save Maximilian's life because they want him back in Austria. Garibaldi wants him back in Austria. The United States wants him back in Austria.
Please tell me this guy kills him.
Every liberal wants him in Austria. Well, Benito Juarez is a servant. He is the president of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And as the president of Mexico, his job is to be servant to the law. And the law clearly states...
You mean the black woman?
Yep.
Instant death. No questions asked.
No chill.
Did he pull the trigger? Because that would have been so romantic.
Signs the order, and Maximilian goes in front of a firing squad.
Hey, you remember this law you signed, Ming? Just taunting him. The whole thing, just looking at the lineup, eating a tortilla.
This is how you do it.
This dummy with the avocado toast and a stupid robe, just standing against a Mexican wall.
And that was it. Him and his two generals were shot.
Wow.
And it ended the foreign invasion.
They crack open the Coronas. And here we are.
And the funny thing is, Benito Juarez keeps all of his policies. Because all the liberal policies were done for him. He didn't have to worry about it. La Reforma was complete.
The only thing they just removed is no emperor.
No emperor, and obviously got rid of the black decrees. But yeah, that was it. He had done all the work for Benito.
So the French didn't do jack other than just bring poor Maximilian here to just get to clipped.
Die. Yep.
Wow, these French are just...
it gets worse. 3 years later, Emperor Napoleon III is captured by a German cook with a soup ladle.
That's even... I want. Can you give me a compressed story of that? Or is it, does it have a long... How much time do we have? Where are we at?
We're at 40 minutes. You could sum up the Battle of Sedan, I guess.
Yeah, give me 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes of this story.
Real quick.
With a ladle, with a gravy ladle. Mm-hmm.
Bismarck stood the chance of the Hohenzollern family of gaining the throne of Spain. He meets with Napoleon at a spa resort.
Napoleon III or Napoleon Origin?
The third.
The third. Nappy III.
Yep. At a spa resort called Ems, mm-hmm. where Napoleon III says, "You're German, why would you want Spain?" Which, if I was Bismarck, I would have said, "You're French, why would you want Mexico?" But anyway, right? And
snarky remarks are going back and forth.
Right. Napoleon III says, "Look, man, you know, we're nationalists. Germans for Germany, France is for France, right? And we're buddies, right?" Bismarck says, "Sure." Sends a telegram back to Berlin saying Napoleon begged and pleaded. And that gets printed in the newspapers. Now, at this particular point, Napoleon III's foreign policy has not been going well. And this was embarrassing, so Napoleon was forced
to... Hold up.
Chris, there you go.
I got to do the same thing that I do with this. So Napoleon goes to Bismarck, tells him, "Yo, I want Spain." "You don't want Spain, dude."
"Yeah.
Spain's not for you." "All right, but then give me Germany." "I got you." Then sends a letter saying, "Yo, this dude was crying and whining."
Basically, yeah.
So... yeah, okay. All right. So just,
the whole thing.
Yes, it just exposes this guy as a weakling.
And Napoleon is embarrassed. His foreign policy has been going horribly in Europe and overseas, so he declares war on Prussia, not really realizing that the entire Prussian army is already lined up on the French border waiting for this.
Oh! Yo, it was a setup from the get.
Right. Yeah. So in a few weeks, the Prussians are sieging Paris, and Napoleon, who was at the front, gets captured behind Prussian lines by a cook with a soup ladle.
Where did this cook come from? It's one of his own cooks?
From a kitchen.
I mean, it would have been great if he just...
All right, yeah, so yeah, chop those shell outs and make sure it's simmering. Is that military cook? Is that out there?
Wait, but was he like a spy?
No, he was a German military cook from one of the German mess kitchens.
Hold up, so the
that's
whole...
how far behind the lines on Napoleon was.
The Germans had blown through him in a couple weeks.
I need mushrooms. is that Napoleon? Yo,
Steve. Hold up, put it on simmer. I gotta take care of something.
Yo, grab me that spoon.
Steve, give me that spoon. Right. Watch this one. I'm gonna sneak up on this guy with this ladle. Watch, we're gonna end the war right here. It's gonna be great. And just, wow.
And just,
yep. Well, what does he do with that?
How great.
What does he do once he hands him with the ladle? What happens?
No,
next?
He did the old school, like, you know how they put two
stick
fingers in the back.
Stick his back. He's like, yeah.
Stick him up.
So what happens after the cook has him? What does he do with him?
The French
does he cook him?
The French army collapses. The French government collapses.
Yep. Does this cook have a name?
I do not know his name, but I'm
how
sure
the hell did this guy
one.
Not get a name?
And, and the French government that exists, the provisional government, sues for
Hans
peace.
Munich was his name.
Sure.
They sued for peace?
Yeah, they said, we're done. We're sorry. We didn't mean to do it. And the city of Paris gets so upset it declares its independence.
Yes. Yes. I forgot about that. Yes.
Wow. So to be its own nation state.
Yes.
The nation of
Paris. Yes, it becomes called the Paris Commune. Yes. And the Paris Commune.
Paris Commune, right.
They follow Marxist ideologies and they hold out against the Prussian. And then the Prussian army just...
So Paris just gets so embarrassed.
And it's around it.
Me and my 11 or 12 armed dissimulant are going to... Yo...
Right. So the Prussian army goes home and says, "This isn't our fight anymore." So the French army now has to siege Paris.
to take it back.
Take it back from its own people.
Listen, all right. I'm just upset that this French or this Prussian badass cook.
Right. Doesn't have a name.
Does not have a name.
He probably does.
Should have a statue somewhere.
You're right.
Yeah, he dude. Should. With the ladle. At the bare minimum,
imagine this guy looks
should
like
be
Chef,
on a flag.
Imagine this guy looks like Chef Boyardee with like a German Kaiser
helmet. Oh, how great would it be?
He'd be like Schultz from
how
from
great
Hogan's
would
Heroes.
It be if Chef Boyardee is the guy.
I see Schultz from Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
With a soup ladle. I know nothing.
Stop! Right there.
I was imagining Steven Seagal on Under Siege.
imagine a movie. We can cast that movie.
Yeah, he would do it.
Yeah. Gerard Depardieu has to be in the movie.
Of course.
Well, he might make a good Napoleon III at the time.
You got to get him. Armand Desant.
Uh-huh. That sounds like.
Yeah, has to be in there.
What's his face? Christoph Waltz has got to be in there.
Right? Oh, Christoph Waltz. Oh, got to be in there. What's this guy that...
Christoph Waltz.
He's a character actor.
As Maximilian.
As Maximilian, right.
He's a character actor. He's in Fargo.
Stormir. Stormir, right?
Yeah, Peter Stormir. Peter Stormare.
Oh, yeah, Stormare. He's Swedish, but he plays Germans all the time.
He plays anything.
Yeah.
He can play anything.
He's great.
Now, meanwhile, in Mexico.
It's not done.
Oh, he's not done.
It's not done.
Gets better. Benito Juarez.
Benito Juarez is now Presidente of Mexico again. But the Mexican Constitution states that you can only run for one term for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's running well, but he's like, you know what? We need a few more policies done. I'm not done with my reform. So he runs again, despite the Constitution. And this upsets a bunch of conservatives. And so one of Benito Juarez's own generals, Porfirio Diaz, rises up against him and overthrows Benito Juarez.
Whoa.
And he sets up his own reign. When he becomes Presidente, the first rule he does is change the amendment so he can run for president as many times as he wants to. And so out of all of this, we end up with a 33-year-old conservative a 33-year conservative dictatorship called the Porfirado under Porfirio Diaz.
Is Mexico still like that? Because I feel like they get a president every other year.
No, it's going to turn into the Mexican Revolution. And if you think this was a colorful story, that's when Pancho Villa shows up.
And Pancho Villa is for real, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay. The Mexican that's Zapata and Villa and Obregón and like all of them.
So is Davy Crockett.
Yeah.
Davy Crockett and Pancho Villa.
They hung out. So, yeah. And then it leads to the Mexican Revolution. And that's when they get their constitution. And yeah.
Now it's Mexico again. Does Mexico have is it just one? Because I just feel like we just had Vicente Fox just a couple minutes ago.
Vicente Fox was a member of the PAN, which was a
Peter Pan group.
Yeah,
I got you. Yeah.
It was the Liberal Party, and really the party that's been in control of Mexico basically since World War II is the PRI,
mm-hmm.
and that's the current president Nieto is a member of the PRI.
All right, so it's been conservative.
How many times
do they
have elections in Mexico? Every 2 years?
They have to have one once every six.
Every 6 years. Okay.
One president every 6 years. That's back on its one-term limit for presidents.
Oh, okay.
So and they're currently in the midst of election season right now.
Mm-hmm. So we're about to have a new one.
Yeah.
It most likely will be a conservative. it keeps that track.
The front runner actually now is a guy from a new party called Moreno.
Oh, yeah.
A new party.
That means dark skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brown party.
Yeah,
he's from the south.
Is he a Zapatista? Are they representing the Zapatistas?
I think he's got support from Zapatistas.
Yeah,
From the south. He probably does.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Or does that make him like kind of anti-organized religion and anti-government?
Well, actually, he's more anti-corruption. He's running an anti-corruption campaign.
Oh, good luck with that in Mexico.
Yeah, sure.
Have fun.
Yeah,
it's an uphill battle there.
Yeah,
it's I mean, their history is just
it's crazy.
I wish I remembered. I think it's Oberon or something like that is what his name is. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
Oberon?
Oberon, something like that. I can't remember his name.
Oberon Martell.
No, not Oberon Martell.
Not Rick, that one?
Rick Martell.
Hopefully he's more successful
Rick
than
Oberon. Rick Martell. All the Martells.
All the Martells are there.
So Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Another fraudulent holiday.
Hey, just
being exposed.
One battle from a war that didn't really do much, you know.
Other than produce the greatest no-name chef.
A lot of things were going on in the 1860s. Where everyone was,
1860 was just crazy,
man. It was just this crazy year for war. You had the Civil War, Italian unification, the German unification. Let's see what was going on by then.
1850s, you had the Crimean War.
Crimean War was 1850s. China was falling down like hardcore by this time. I think the Opium Wars? Second Opium War was going on.
They'd blown up the Emperor of Russia.
Right.
They blew up the Tsar of Russia. Yes, Alexander the Second.
A firework.
And he was the liberal.
He was a liberal.
They blew up the building, or they attached this guy to actual explosives.
Well, they blew him up in a carriage.
Yeah.
Threw
the bomb right in the carriage.
Yeah. He decided to free all the serfs, and people were upset, so they blew him up.
Yeah.
That they still had feudalism in Russia.
Wow. So great.
Yeah. So yeah, 1860s man was just crazy.
It's the 60s, man.
Yeah, 60s. Every 100 years.
I think so. Yeah, every 1760s.
Uh-oh, we're coming up in our lifetime.
The 1660s. Oh my God. Yeah, the English Civil War. Yeah. Now then, and 1666 and the fires that are going on. Oh my God.
Man, the 2060s are gonna suck so
much. Watch out for those 60s, man. It's a tumultuous time.
Yeah. Would I be? I'd be 90.
I think you're good.
Yeah, I'll be 85.
Yeah, well, by then we'll hit the singularity, so we'll all be.
I'll be 85.
We'll be expected to live 2060.
If this rock is still here,
yeah. we'll still be doing the show by then.
Hopefully,
yeah. Sponsored by
Fidelity National Title Insurance Company.
Still there.
Oh man, we got to put the wheels down.
We're 15 minutes.
We got 15 minutes.
That's a point. Right. Oh wow, okay, cool.
Let's do this. We forgot to do this last time. Episode, I think, was it 21?
21, 20.
Yeah, it was episode 21.
Okay.
That our old friend the Macho Man came back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Macho Man.
So we got the Macho. So I figured I'll read a question that we got in our email.
All right.
And it's Macho Man love advice.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So it's pretty much Macho Man, I am a sophomore in high school, and I have no idea of how to talk to girls. Can you help me, give me some tips on how to approach the opposite sex? Do you have the Macho Man song at all? Because that helps summon the spirit.
Pomp and circumstance is what you need. We have summoned the Macho Man.
There you go.
There you go.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. What's the question?
Oh, we got two.
Ooh, yeah.
There he is. Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage coming at you. Talking about love, yeah. What's the answer to the question? How to get girls to notice you? How to get girls to notice you?
How can this kid get somebody to notice him?
You gotta be an attraction!
Oh!
You gotta be an attraction. Subtle, no, loud, yeah. That's how they get to you, yeah. You gotta know how to go up there. And let me tell you something. If you're not yourself, you're never gonna be anyone, yeah. Macho Man is himself. The Macho Man is no one else but himself, yeah. You gotta go up to the girl. You gotta talk to him. They ain't gonna talk to you. No, sorry, Bob. I wouldn't trust that for all the titles in the world. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Do you have like an opening line he can use? Is there like an icebreaker that he could use?
Icebreaker.
Yeah, like a little, like a subtle line. You know what I'm talking about? Like the way you approach Miss Elizabeth.
I go up to her and I say, how you doing? My name is Randy. Yeah, you're gonna come out with me to dinner. If you're not, you're gonna be with those other guys like Hogan. They're losers. Yeah, Macho Man is number one. And if you wanna be number one, you gotta be with the Macho Man. Yeah.
So approach it with confidence.
You gotta have confidence, and you gotta know them. Know the alternatives are not so good.
Well, you didn't give her any alternative. You said you're going with me.
I locked her in a compound. Yeah.
Yeah. you locked her in. So she had no out. You introduce yourself.
Give them no outs. Give them no outs.
No outs. That's
plenty of
the
TV
key,
dinners, but no outs.
No outs. No options.
No outs. Just like my pitching career.
No outs.
No outs.
So let me recap this.
Yeah,
start with your name. Give them no outs.
Give them no outs.
Point out what her other choices are and how bad those other choices would be.
There you go. Nothing but disaster. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You gotta make them know.
I think that's a good message there, Macho Man. I think this might work for this young sophomore.
Remember, they're desperate for you. Yeah.
Oh, remember that. That's the slogan right there. They're desperate for you. If I've ever heard a slogan, that's a cup. As a matter of fact, you know what, Macho Man? Can I steal that for the Devil's in the Details slogan?
Take it over, yeah.
Yeah. They're desperate for you. Listen to the Devil's in the Details every other Tuesday on PFT Media.
Ooh, yeah.
They're desperate for you. I like it. Thank you so much, Macho Man. Up to the heavens you go.
Oh, there you go. What's so fast? Oh. So fast.
I don't know if we should condone any of this advice that comes to my
head. I like it. I thought it was great.
Sounds like a smart dude to me.
Send a follow-up email. Tell us how it works.
Just give him no out.
Right. I'm prom king.
That kid is it. Yeah, imagine. I'm the prom king. Start speaking in that cadence.
Cream of the crop.
That kid's name is like Dallas. Dallas, why are you talking like that?
Because my name's Randy. I'm justifiably in a position I'd rather not be in.
Oh. He starts attacking people from behind.
No, the double accent is like, yeah.
Oh, man. Until the kid Jacob comes and bites him and puts a snake on his bicep just to calm him down.
I think that seriously contributed to my phobia of snakes. Because I saw that when I was like very young.
Oh,
dude, I can still remember it very clearly. The snake
was
just
so
gnawing on his arm.
And you could tell, be like, was this supposed to happen?
Like, that's not a fake snake.
Because you can tell he's trying to rip the snake, and the thing's like, I'm here.
And the camera was like
real.
Right there, like, make sure we get that snake bite. Yeah.
And it's just so funny living in Central Florida because you bump into so many of these guys just hanging out too all the time. And that's always my when I was going to WrestleCon, that was my kind of my prayer was like, please do not put me on a flight with Scott Hall. Please do not put me on a flight
because I might get diverted.
I'm like, I'm going someplace wrestling based out of Orlando. I'm like 50-50 odds.
I think the one time, remember that one time that I tried to do interviews for, I forget what it was, Jason, what's his name?
This is when we were at the convention?
The Hammer, was it Shaft that was a dick to us?
Richard Roundtree was the dick, yeah.
Yeah, who's, what's a podcast?
Really? Yeah, Richard Roundtree is like, kind of a dick.
Who are you?
But Fred Williamson was awesome.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The Hammer was great.
Fred Williamson is awesome.
Yeah.
The Hammer, man.
The Hammer was great.
Yeah.
The Hammer was great.
Yeah, yeah, the Hammer. Yeah.
The Iron Sheik wanted $40 to do an interview. I said no. He cut it down to, he tried to offer it for 20.
Yeah. He haggled with you?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm good. Well, come on, take pictures. Like, no, I can take a picture from the back. That's fine. Right. I don't need to be next to you.
Yeah.
But Scott Hall.
Kevin Nash.
No, Kevin Nash. I'm sorry. Kevin Nash was
cool.
Was dope.
Cool.
Because shit. Dan was bringing up Oz.
Yeah.
Or something like that. The wrestling character Oz. Like, and he goes, there's a monument in Japan.
No.
Yeah. His hat is in a bar in Japan next to Jushin Thunder Liger's mask.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's like no small feat in Japan. Right. Man, that's crazy.
That character went so over in Japan. So weird.
Japanese. Well, just because he's a giant, probably why, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Just, and he was younger, so he's more mobile and probably, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see him in the Magic Mike movies?
No, I haven't seen.
He's one of the strippers in the Magic Mike movies.
And the second one, right?
In both of them. I don't know if he's the second. He might just be in the first. I've only seen the first one. And he's on the dance scenes. He's in the back in the corner. Okay. It's him. The other five dancers hit the ground. They spin. They're doing all this stuff. He never gets to the ground. He just spins very slow.
Right,
he can't move. It's hysterical. No, he can't move. And then watch him be a, quote, stripper on a stage.
He's also one of the bodyguards or security details in one of the greatest musicals of our time, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
We have not seen
it. I thought you were going to say John Wick.
He was in John Wick.
Hell, he was in John Wick, too.
He's a security guard in John Wick, yeah.
The Longest Yard, he was really good in.
And on... what's that? What was it? Was it the original Punisher that he played the Russian guy?
He was the Russian, the original Punisher. He was Super Shredder in Secret of the Ooze.
Oh. He's a Repo Man and Grandma's Boy. Right.
Give this man a star, Hollywood. Sure, him and Danny Trejo need to have a star.
You sure he hasn't been typecasted?
Yeah, as a giant badass? Giant
man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so much more depth to his acting.
Danny Trejo plays...
Oh, he was cast as a stripper, Magic Mike.
I love that Danny Trejo story of how he got cast in Predator. Have I told you this one?
No.
Do you know this one?
Trejo's not in Predator.
Predator 2. No, Predators.
Yeah. No, Predators.
Okay, the recent
Predators,
one.
Right.
Okay.
He's in Predators.
His cousin.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the
well,
story.
His cousin,
no.
Well, of course, Rodriguez. Yeah, it was Rodriguez, right? But he didn't want to be the guy who always had a Danny Trejo thing. So he types in this role. He's like a Danny Trejo type character.
Oh, that's funny.
And Danny Trejo gets wind of the script. He calls him up and goes, "Hey, man, I look like Danny Trejo." And Robert's like, "God damn it. All right, fine. Come on."
That's amazing. That's so funny. That's great.
Give that man a star. And Mustache Hall of Fame.
Mustache Hall of Fame, Danny Trejo.
This has been the French-Mexican intervention... Russian Laddle. I'm gonna read this with my slowpoke Rodriguez voice. Follow the devils in the details on Twitter. That's DHEDEVILSDEETS Devils Deets on the Twitter. Email for any comments, suggestions, dating advice for the Macho Man. Whatever you need. Devils in the Details Show at gmail.com.
All right, I'm done all with right. That voice.
It's tiring.
Yeah.
It is. That's why they get paid to do that.
So exhausting. Hey, we're on PFT Media, everybody. You should already know that. You should be following that PFT Media on Facebook.
All the great shows
are there. Great shows are there. Simon Time Trivia Time. Yep. Cinema Crespedisos, and I can't remember the other shows for some reason. I don't know. It'll come up to me. Shows available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, also on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Did I mention Spotify on this? No, Spotify's in the back. And make sure you rate and review.
Yes.
On Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, please do.
And my name's Pedro Lima, Dan Perella.
Clay.
Did I call you Chris for the longest time?
I think you called me something
a couple of times.
He's so bad at this.
I am not good. This has been episode 22.9 of The Devil's in the Details.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
You've been terrific, really. We love you. Thank you for being so special tonight. And putting up with the rain. And putting up with us.
A PFT Media production.